Introduction. 2016. For much of the year, I'd been awaiting the go-ahead on what was potentially one of the most demanding, exhausting but exhilarating acting roles I'd ever been offered. I'd taken riding lessons, spent hours on Michelle Thomas's Spanish course, grown appropriate facial hair, and even had a nose specially made. All so I could take the lead in Terry Gilliam's latest attempt to make the film his life was leading up to, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. But for various reasons, shooting had been repeatedly delayed. It was to be July, then it was to be October, then it was to be neither. As contractual problems confounded any progress, the explanations for my beard and moustache were becoming less and less convincing, as were my reasons for turning down other offers. Eventually, the time came to grasp the nettle, and on an early autumn morning, with sadness and regret, I sat down, composed an email of resignation to Terry, took a deep breath, and pressed send. No sooner had that email gone out than another came in. It was from one Dan Grabiner at ITN Productions, and was headed, "I have an unusual one for you today." I'm used to the unusual ones, but this was very unusual. It was a request for me to consider presenting a series for ITN and Channel 5 in North Korea. My philosophy of travel, such as it is that the more difficult somewhere is to get to, the greater the prize to be won by getting there. But when the prize was North Korea, I found that this was not a view shared by my wife and a surprising number of my friends. To many of them, this was a step too far. The known unknowns were one thing, but the unknown unknowns were quite another. Not that anyone could claim North Korea is a complete unknown. There have been books written about it and accounts from defectors aired on radio and television. Unfortunately, nearly all these accounts speak of a cruel, godless, secretive state whose people live in oppression and poverty under the yoke of a ruthless, self-perpetuating dictatorship. Not an easy sell to the doubters. At the time ITN Productions contacted me, Kim Jong-un, the current ruler, young and eccentrically tonsured, had been in power for 5 years, following the death of his father, Kim Jong-il, who had himself, in 1994, inherited the reins of power from his father, Kim Il-sung, the founder of the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The North Koreans had few friends in the outside world. The Russians had helped them for a time, but after the collapse of communism in 1991, they backed off, leaving the Chinese to become their reluctant paymaster. Other countries viewed them with increasing suspicion when, despite limited resources, the North Koreans ramped up the stakes by pursuing Songun, a policy which put the military at the heart of the country's existence. This led to the testing of nuclear devices and the building of ever larger intercontinental ballistic missiles. Attempts at reconciliation with the West consistently failed, ensuring that North Korea remained comfortably ensconced on President George W. Bush's axis of evil. Despite this distinctly unpromising international image, I followed a gut curiosity and replied to ITN that, yes, I was interested and I'd like to know more. After a few initial meetings, the momentum slackened. The international situation worsened, and the idea of a North Korea travelogue looked less and less likely. Added to this, my wife was to have a knee replacement and I needed to be at home to help her with her recuperation. I therefore decided to confine myself to another project, and one which would keep me closer to home, following up my newfound enthusiasm for the extraordinary life story of a ship called HMS Erebus and turning it into a book. It seemed to be the right decision. The news from the Democratic People's Republic was going from bad to horrible. Kim Jong-un was threatening the world, boasting that his country had assembled